Welcome to the Balance Babes podcast. I'm Kim Perez.
I'm Amanda Montalvo.
And we are functional nutritionists trained in a holistic, integrative approach to health and are founders of the Balance Babe Method and Facebook group.
We are on a mission to help women learn how to nourish their bodies, balance their hormones, and feel good in their skin.
Because we've both dealt with our own health struggles, we are passionate about helping women become more in tune with their bodies and eliminate hormonal imbalances naturally through food, lifestyle habits, mindset, and targeted supplements tailored to each woman.
We believe in the importance of intention, the power of intuition, and the value of prioritizing self-care. And we're here to empower all women.
Before we get started, we want to remind you that we are not your doctor, and the content shared on this podcast is for informational purposes only. Please chat with your doctor before making any changes. Hey, it's Kim. Before we dive into today's episode, I just wanted to quickly tell you about a new skincare product that I've been using and loving, Primally Pure's Fancy Face Serum. So I started using oils on my face a few years ago, and it really did help to change the health and the appearance of my skin so much. And I just started with making my own blends, which were usually really simple, and they did the trick for a while. But then I got pregnant, and my skin changed so much. And all of a sudden, these oils that were working for me before just didn't work anymore. My skin personally got really dry and bumpy, and I found that no matter what I put on it, I just couldn't get enough moisture. I also really didn't have the time or the energy to experiment and start making different blends and trying them out. So I decided to try the Fancy Face Serum, and I'm really happy that I did because I'm obsessed with it. First of all, the all-natural ingredients in this serum are so moisturizing. Things like hazelnut, argan, and pumpkin seed oils really help to nourish the skin in such a gentle but really powerful way. And they help with things like scarring, age spots, discoloration, and improving skin elasticity too. I also really love that the serum has a nice copper color. So it actually provides a really, really light natural glow to my face, which is especially perfect right now because I am just at a point where I don't want to wear makeup. And Primally Pure also has two formulations of this serum. They have a regular blend, but they also have a pregnancy one that eliminates certain essential oils. So I can feel 100% confident in using this at this stage in my life. So if you're interested, you can check out the Fancy Face Serum and other blends like their plumping and clarifying serums at primallypure.com. And if you use the code BBP, you'll get 10% off your first order.
It's Amanda Montalvo here, integrative dietitian and one half of the Balance Babes podcast. And with me today, I have Sarah Korzenewski, aka the organic dietitian. And I did say it right, looks like. So that's amazing. Sarah is a registered dietitian, certified LEAP therapist, and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. She suffered with hormone and digestive symptoms for years with little recommendations for relief. Being in the health and wellness field, she knew there had to be more going on and was determined to find a solution. She started studying functional medical nutrition therapy, and through functional lab work, nutrition, and lifestyle, was finally able to find long-term answers to her symptoms. Now she helps busy women dig to the root cause of their health issues. Using proper testing, science-based education, and lots of support, she empowers women to take back their health and gain back energy and vitality. Thank you so much for being here, Sarah.
Yay, I'm so excited. It's been a long time of following each other.
I know, and talking on Instagram. I was like, oh, we can like kind of meet, not quite in real life, but as close as we're probably going to get.
Yeah.
So in this episode, the main focus is talking about how to hear your gut and why you can't just do a food sensitivity test. It's kind of our theme, what we're going to dive into. But before we start, I just want to ask a few questions. So these are fun, just say kind of whatever comes to your mind. The first one is, what's your favorite self-care activity?
I would say baths. I probably do them at least twice a week. with the good Epsom salts in there, some essential oils going. I usually always have a face mask on while I'm laying in there. I mean, I could do a bath every day. I wish I had like a big fancy tub that like your head's just sticking out of and the jets are going, but maybe one day.
I was gonna ask, I was like, do you have like a really awesome tub? Or
I just make it, I make do with what I've got.
It's okay. It's still a good experience, I'm sure. I love the face mask with it too, multitasking. What's your favorite or preferred form of exercise or movement?
It always, honestly, it's whatever moves me that day. I finally this last year got a personal trainer just because I was having a hard time motivating myself. And so I really have enjoyed that quite a bit. Really focusing on more muscle than like cardio. You know, I used to love running and I got so burnt out from it that I had to stop for a while. So now every once in a while I may go out for a little run, or if I decide I don't really feel like it today, I'll just go, you know, walk around. I wish I could say hiking because I live in Arizona, but there unfortunately isn't really like mountains close enough to make it worth going like on a regular basis. Yeah. But I do enjoy that when I get to.
That's cool. I love the like intuitive kind of movement type thing. We're all about that. What is your guilty Netflix binge show?
It changes. There's lots of different ones, but I would probably say like even Fuller House when that came on. I mean, I grew up, that's what I watched when I was little.
I know, me too.
So it was like, when it came back, it was like, all right, you know.
That's
but awesome. I think I could sit down and watch like the whole season in one day.
Oh, so funny. Yeah. We were talking, I was at a pool party today. Everyone were talking about like all those shows we watched as a kid, like Rugrats and Kenan and Kel and all that stuff. And I was like, God, that's so funny. Like we all still remember it all.
Well, I know. And now they're all starting to come back, which
I know.
Like, gosh, I'm not that old.
I know, although it's starting to feel like it, but okay, awesome. That's cool. I feel like I got to know you a little bit better than just kind of following you on Instagram. So the reason I want to focus on gut health today is because a lot of the women that are in our Balanced Babe community, in our Facebook group, a lot of them are focusing on like hormone healing. Lots of ladies recently with fertility stuff, PCOS, or like hypothalamic amenorrhea, like not having a period, that kind of stuff. So it's very hormone focused. And a lot of the questions are geared around like, what kind of testing, like, can I get a blood test from my doctor? Like that kind of stuff. And we're constantly bringing up gut health and saying like, well, have you ever looked at your digestion? Because a lot of times they try things and it's not really moving the needle. And we found like, you know, Kim and I as practitioners that it's like, you really have to look at the gut as well. And it's kind of like, what does that mean? You know, for someone to do that. So that's kind of why mostly like a lot of my questions are going to be geared around that today. So why is gut health so important in just like hormone health, but even just overall health? Like what would you say to someone that's kind of new to this?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like when people come to me, yeah, it's like, oh, can't I just do a Dutch test for you and like figure out what's going on with my hormones? And it's like, well, kind of, but it doesn't really give you a big enough picture. And looking at the gut is really important because that's really where some of your hormones are actually produced. If you have a lot of infections or imbalances in the gut, it's a big stress on the body. And that stress impacts cortisol from your adrenals, which can then impact your hormones, right? Because stress can come from hundreds of places. It's not always just mental, emotional. There's a lot of the hidden internal stuff, including the things going on in the gut that can impact. Just gut dysbiosis in general, or an imbalance of that bacteria, can create substances that can impact your liver's ability to properly detox estrogen. That was actually the case for me when I was dealing with hormonal imbalances. It was 100% my gut, and nobody ever looked at my gut until I started looking at my gut and doing proper testing. And, you know, beta-glucuronidase is one of the substances that they check on the GI map, which is that marker, if it's high, can indicate dysbiosis, and that can contribute to that, you know, ultimately estrogen dominance. And that was the case for me. It was like, I was trying all these other things, focusing on, you know, hormones themselves, but it wasn't even my hormones that were to blame. It was my gut that was creating these issues with my hormones.
Yeah. And it's, we see that a lot, and that it's like you're, a lot of people think, oh, I have a hormonal problem, but it's like your hormones are a symptom of like usually a much deeper problem. I love that you stress that what's going on in your gut can also be a stressor, and like those hidden stressors. And we both have that functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner background. And like, that's really what they teach you, is that there are all these hidden stressors. And it's like, women almost don't realize that they impact us the same way any other stressor would. So it's like, you're going to have the cortisol response, you're going to have the blood sugar changes, and eventually that can trickle down and impact your hormones. So it's like, you're like, well, why is my PMS so bad? Or why don't I get a period? Or maybe you have PCOS or something. You're kind of wondering like where those come from. And it's like, well, have you looked at that gut piece? Because I get a lot of women that are already taking DIM. I'm sure you do too. That's like the new thing now. Everyone wants it. Like, oh, I have symptoms of estrogen dominance, so I'm going to take DIM. But it's like, that might not be the case. And if she... Yeah, you did say like Dutch test, and just for everyone that knows that, is it's a dried urine hormone test. So it's looking at like your sex hormones and your stress hormones. But yeah, that is really like the epitome of why gut health is so important, and it does impact all those other areas of health. So let's dive into food sensitivities, because you had a great Instagram post and some stories about this. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of women that do food sensitivity tests, and they're like, well, I've stopped eating all the foods on the test that were high and that I'm sensitive to, but it's not doing anything. A lot of people do it for acne. I'm sure you've seen that. Like, a lot of people do it for skin stuff. A lot of people do it because they want to heal their guts, because they've maybe started the paleo lifestyle and they've learned about gut health or something like that. But how do you feel about food sensitivity testing? What can we learn from it? And, you know, what might not be like so great about doing a food sensitivity test?
Yeah. I think we're still learning so much about that topic, and, you know, we're still developing good labs. So really, first and foremost, is not all labs are created equal. You know, I know there's a lot of companies out there who are kind of jumping on that bandwagon a little bit, and why a lot of them may have good intentions. It's like, oh, I can just order my own food sensitivity test at home. You know, it comes to me, I put a little drop of blood on a paper, and then I mail it back, and then they tell me what foods I'm sensitive to. And then all I have to do is eliminate those foods for the rest of my life, and I'm going to be really healthy, right? But, you know, the first thing is that some of them don't even check for that many foods, and there's hundreds of foods, there's thousands of foods, you know, that we could potentially eat. So you're only checking, you know, part of the picture. And the other thing is that most of them are just checking IgG antibodies, which are the one of the food sensitivity antibodies that your immune system can create in reaction to a food. But that's also only one potential antibody. There's others. You also even have IgA antibodies. You've got immunoglobulins. There's lots of different ways that your body can react. And so again, that's not necessarily the full picture. And then we can't just eliminate foods and everything's good. You still kind of have to do an elimination diet with a food sensitivity test, kind of no matter what you do. And so having someone knowledgeable about that to really walk you through the process of when to eliminate things and also how to reintroduce it. Because I have had clients who are like, oh yeah, I did a food sensitivity test 3 years ago and it told me I couldn't have chicken or turkey and I haven't had it since. And then they're like not eating like a lot of protein and they're just eating a bunch of carbs and all this other stuff. And then they'll also be like, oh yeah, but I had chicken once like a few months ago and I felt okay with it, but like I still avoided it. It's like, okay, well, that's not always, again, just because it says on a test you're sensitive doesn't even guarantee that you're truly sensitive to it. And it also doesn't mean you have to eliminate it forever, right? So I tend to find that a lot. And then sometimes people have like 30 things that it says they're sensitive to. And then again, they just eliminate that and then they can't eat anything. And now they have this fear of food that if I eat some of these things that is on my list, I'm going to have a reaction, right? And then they don't feel well. But again, I think food sensitivities is really more of a symptom. So, you know, it's something that, you know, we really still should work with people on that can help guide us into when to eliminate certain things and also making sure you're healing and then reintroducing some foods. Typically, if you have a leaky gut, you know, that's a sign that, you know, you may have a lot of food sensitivities. Also, it's like at the end of the day, it's not about the food, but also too about the bacteria in your gut and how that is breaking down certain foods. And if you have an imbalance there, then that can cause symptoms too. So there's so much more that really we need to look at. We can't just eliminate foods and expect things to heal. So the gut is a very complicated thing. And I hear it all the time from people. It's like, they're like, well, how do I heal my gut? I can't tell you in like two sentences how to do it.
And
different. I know everyone's going to be different. And there's a ton of things to consider. Tons of things. And then people are like, well, but that's really overwhelming. That's why you should work with somebody. That's why ultimately at the end of the day, working with someone that knows what they're doing is going to be cheaper and quicker than going out and guessing and trying a bunch of different things that could actually be doing more harm than good or causing you to have that fear of food. And then you now have to work on, you know, healing yourself from that. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, that did. It was a great answer, comprehensive. And the things I kind of want to highlight from that is that, so it's not that food sensitivity tests are bad. They're just not going to get you to the root of that issue, right? Because say someone gets a food sensitivity test back. Like we've had a lot of ladies do these in our group. And it's kind of one of the things that gets them intrigued in like functional nutrition and medicine in the first place. Like you mentioned, they're so accessible now, right? So it's like, it's nice. And I think it's great that, you know, people are taking ownership of their health. I think that's super important. But if you get a food sensitivity test back and there's a lot of foods that you're sensitive to, that's like a big sign of leaky gut. You know, that's a sign that it's like, okay, it's probably not just these foods and even like healthy foods. Like you were saying, like some people like eliminate chicken forever, you know, or I get beef a lot. Like a lot of people will come back with like beef and like avocado, things they eat all the time and that are actually really nourishing foods, but they eliminate them because they're like, well, now I'm sensitive. But it's like the reason why you're sensitive is because there's likely dysfunction going on in your gut. So I love that. It's important to highlight because I think it's confusing. Like we don't expect people to know this stuff, but a huge part of why we want to do this podcast is because we feel that, you know, the information out there around women's health is a joke. You know, like when you go, think about when you go to the doctor or gynecologist, it's like, and I've lived in a lot of different places now and it's like pretty much the same everywhere. So we want to be able to give women like more information about like what's realistic. And sometimes it does mean that you have to work with someone and that's the advice you're going to get. There's still plenty of things you can do on your own, but I guess like from this, you know, don't waste your money on a food sensitivity test and just eliminate the foods. Cause that's not necessarily going to heal your gut. And my next question is, what, like you kind of briefly mentioned, like there's a lot of different things to look at with healing the gut, because there are. Can you go through some of those main areas outside of like food and stuff that like impact your gut health?
Yeah, stress is always a big one, right? And just in our modern day society today, I think we're just all stressed in some way, because I do sometimes get people coming to me and they're like, but I'm not stressed. Like, I feel like things are going well and like I'm happy and like all that stuff. I'm like, well, unless you live on a deserted island and you're independently wealthy, you know, you probably have some kind of stress going on in your life. And just pathogens, gut, you have trillions of bacteria in the gut and it kind of is like this delicate balance. And, you know, so looking for infections, looking for just how good your microbiome is, your good bacteria, how well you're making enzymes, you know, those kind of basic things. And that's what I find the testing is really helpful. I think you do GI maps as well, right?
Yep.
And the DNA-based stool test, because again, not all stool tests are created equal either. I know we could have a whole big conversation about that too, but because I've done 3 different types of stool tests on myself and, you know, the GI map by far to me gave me the most information, but, you know, simple things like that to look at, you know, and stress can even go back to like how well you're sleeping and liver, supporting the liver. We get bombarded by a lot of toxins and then that has to go through your body and your liver, and your liver is really part of your digestive system as well. And we kind of don't really think of that or consider that. You know, medications, birth control. I know we have very powerful views on that. And how that impacts your gut bacteria as well. It depletes nutrients. I mean, mineral deficiencies. That's kind of been one of my favorite new topics that I've been learning a lot about because I do the hair mineral test. But, you know, if you're low in sodium, if you're low in zinc, those two minerals actually help you make stomach acid. And, you know, stress, again, can impact sodium. Inflammation can impact sodium. So there's really, it's kind of like this big circle of things. And, well, this impacts this and this impacts that. And then those two will impact each other and everything. So, I mean, there's tons and tons of different things.
And like the main thing is it's like they all interact, right? So it's like if you're trying to heal your gut, there's no perfect diet. There's no like foods that you can eliminate. There are helpful supplements and like protocols that you can follow, like for sure. But at the end of the day, it's like you have to address the different areas of your life, especially for like long-term gut healing. I feel like we have a lot of ladies in the group that maybe they've tried an elimination diet. Like a lot of people are familiar with like Whole30, paleo, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like you potentially could have tried something like that and maybe you didn't notice a difference, or you did, and then people kind of stop noticing, you know, like it kind of only takes you so far. So it's like looking at those other areas, like what does your stress really look like? And like I do a whole stress exercise. Like we have this in our Balance Faves program where we have you list like, one, like look at all the different stressors, like how you just identified a bunch of those different things that can potentially impact stress, and circle them, and then think about, okay, like what do you have control over and what do you not? And then start chipping away at the ones you have control over. And like, then like a whole mindset shift of the ones that you don't, right? So all that stuff makes a big difference. And you're never just healing like the gut when you're looking for perfect gut health. Like you're really looking at all the different areas of your life. And I love that you mentioned that about the liver. It makes bile, you know? So it's like, if you have issues with your liver and you're not making adequate bile, or it's like stagnant and it's becoming toxic, and you're probably not breaking down your food very well, especially healthy fats. And then that has a whole thing with like nutrient deficiencies. So I love that. If you had to pick one of those areas that you have found is, I don't know if it's like the most important, but the one that moves the needle the most for the clients that you work with, which one would it be?
One. Well, I guess if I really had to do one, I would say like getting a good stool test, like the GI map, just because so many of the women I have worked with have tried a lot of different things. And it was until we actually saw it on a test. And then we're like, okay, yeah, these symptoms aren't happening for no reason because you have this, this, and this, and this. And then they finally started addressing them. They actually start to feel, you know, better. And they start to actually notice changes. And like, it's like, I get emails like the first time I had a poop on my own for the first time, like in forever. A close second is really stress. And just like even just mental, emotional stuff. You know, that tends to be a really big one too. And if you don't have a good mindset kind of going into healing from anything, then it makes it really hard to, cause you could do all the testing and take all the supplements in the world, but if you have a really bad mindset and don't believe that you can get better, then it's like nothing in the world seems to really help.
I love that you said that. I think I wish that I could take Google away from some of my clients and past clients and stuff like that. And yeah. I try to explain to people that if you don't think it's going to work, it's not going to work. You know, like if you don't think that the effort that you're putting in and day out is actually going to heal you, it for sure is not going to heal you. And if you're always looking for the next best thing, like number one, you're avoiding your current situation, you know, and like not putting your energy where it should be. And then number two, it's like, you're not giving your body like the full chance to like really heal and like focus on it. It's like we like to, where our brains are always stressed out and distracted and going in a million different directions. And I feel like sometimes that can be like a really challenging part of healing, is that it's like you just, it's like Groundhog's Day every day. Like you're doing the same thing. Sometimes you can't always do the things you want to do. You might not feel the best. You're putting all this effort in. You're like, why aren't I seeing changes? You know, it's like frustrating. But it does like pay off, especially like if you're working with someone. So why do you think that we shouldn't try to heal our guts on our own?
Because it's really hard to do. It's really, like I said, it's a really complicated topic. And every time I post anything about like, oh, here are the things you should consider when you heal your gut, so many people are like, well, that's a lot, or that's overwhelming. And it's like, yeah. And I don't think it has to be, if you can work with someone who can kind of give you the steps, because there could be 20 things to consider, but we're not necessarily going to address all 20 things right off the bat. You know, we're going to try to do it slow and steady. And honestly, even I think anyone works better and when they have someone that can hold them accountable. You know, it's so easy when we try to do things on our own. And I mean, even just like having a trainer, for like my example, is always like, I could then come up with a million excuses and go to the gym, right? Or like, I'll go tomorrow. But because I have someone that I have to go and I have to depend on, and she's there, and if, you know, if I don't show up, like, that's bad. So even just having that accountability, but having someone who really understands what you're going through and can guide you properly through the process so that it's not overwhelming. And then at the same time, you're probably going to get results a lot faster versus trying to do things on your own, because you don't know what you're doing, if it's working or not. You don't know, like, okay, I could try this supplement. I mean, how many of us have supplement graveyards of things that we hear someone online said they took this one thing and it solved all their problems, so we're going to try it too. And then it does nothing. And then we don't finish taking it. And then we hear of a new thing to try. And, you know, we don't want to just... There is not one quick fix. This is not a quick fix. They don't exist when it comes to things like that. There may be things that make you feel better quickly, but again, is that really the long-term solution? So then you stop doing that one thing and then everything comes back. You know, I kind of even use like probiotics and enzymes as an example. If you take those things and they make you feel better, that's fantastic. But at the end of the day, then I want to know, well, why are you not making your own enzymes on your own? Or why is your gut bacteria so imbalanced that you need to depend on the probiotics? So it's like, I always say I'm like that annoying 2-year-old that's always like, but why? But why? But why? That works. Okay, great. But why? You know? And it's just, it's digging deep. It's peeling back the many layers that is involved with, you know, healing the gut. And it's overwhelming for anybody. I mean, the body is a super complex thing. And like you said, everything interacts with everything. And you also don't want to do something that's going to do more harm than good.
That's a very good point. And something that I think, even if we think about like something like HCL, which is, I think, pretty popular, especially like digestive enzymes, a lot of people use those now. Like, I'm like almost shocked of how many people are like, well, I'm taking a digestive enzyme and I have a pretty good, what I think is a pretty good probiotic. They ask me to look at them, see if they're good. And sometimes they still don't work. So then they're like, well, I'm going to try taking some stomach acid like HCL. And I'm like, but have you tested your gut yet? Because again, like how Sarah just mentioned that sometimes you can do more harm than good. Like, that is one of the examples where if you have not done a stool test, which is the GIMAP, which we're going to talk about in a little more detail in a second. And if you don't know if you have H. pylori, I mean, H. pylori, it's a pathogenic bacteria that can, it thrives off stomach acid. So if you are putting more stomach acid into your stomach, you're just feeding that bacteria and it's going to thrive. So that's just one example of how, like, you can actually do a lot more harm than good. And that's why, like, you want to test and not guess. Like, I personally do a Dutch, a GI map, and an HTMA test on myself once a year. And yeah, it's actually coming up where I need to do it soon. And it's like, if you can invest in that and look at that as something like you're doing for yourself, I think it's super important. And it's worth it, because like you're like the supplement graveyard, we all have those, like, yeah, for sure. It's so funny now, I try to be really minimal with my supplements, because if I'm over supplementing, it probably means I'm not eating enough, right? Or like eating enough of the right foods. Yeah. So it's like, think about like, could you get more from food, all that kind of stuff. So what are some of the signs, like, before we dive into like what the GI map is? Because I find that a lot of people are like pretty surprised I want to do a stool test, like a lot of the time. What are some of the signs that you need gut healing, like that your gut needs more attention?
Honestly, I would say if you're a human being, that's a sign. But I mean, of course, basic things like if you have constipation or diarrhea, if you've got bloating, if you have a lot of excessive painful gas, you know, if you have acid reflux, those kinds of things. But I always say that there's like 25% of people that have digestive issues don't even have digestive symptoms. you know, they may have things like autoimmune conditions or skin issues, you know, the hormonal acne or eczema or, you know, anything like crazy rashes. If you have hormonal imbalances, you always want to check the gut as well. If you even have things like anxiety or depression, there's a huge connection between the gut and the brain. And yeah, I require every client that I work with to do a GI map. Honestly, I don't necessarily care if you don't want to do a Dutch. I don't care if you don't want to do an HDMA, but I will not work with you if you will not do a GI map, because I feel like that is wasting time and potentially like I'm not going to be as effective, because that's a huge area of opportunity. And if we don't look there, that could be missing out on quite a bit. I actually had a lady recently who was struggling with infertility, and she had zero digestive symptoms at all. Like nothing that she really, complained of there. She just was trying to figure out why she couldn't get pregnant. And she went to even naturopaths and all that stuff. They did hormone testing. Her progesterone was low. All they did was put her on progesterone cream, right? Which is kind of a somewhat pet peeve of mine. But we're like, let's look at the gut. We have to look there. There's too much that we could miss if we don't look there. Did a GI map. She had a ton of things. She had, you know, candida, and she had parasites, and she had an imbalance of bacteria, and you know, all these things. And I was like, well, there you go. I mean, you're not going to be able to fix your hormones and, you know, be able to get pregnant if you don't address what's going on here in the gut. So it's definitely a requirement that everybody should be doing. And still tons of people missing out on it. You know, it's crazy. A lot of the natural doctors even are not doing stool tests. You know, they're trying to do everything else, but totally missing out on that.
That is so true. It's something that I think people, that because if they don't have digestive symptoms, they're like, oh, but like I use a bathroom every day, it's fine. Like I don't have loose stools. My stools are formed. They're normal color. They don't smell. They think that, okay, like then everything must be totally fine. But it's very interesting because it's so easy to get a parasite. Like it's interesting because sometimes people will get their GI map back and they're like, oh my God, I have a parasite. Like, how did I get that? And yeah. It's like, honestly, like if you travel anywhere, if you have pets, you know, like it's very easy. The foods that we eat, it's easy to get them. And then also if you have leaky gut, like how we've been talking about, like gut health is so important for your overall health. Like one of the reasons is because it usually keeps those things out. You know, so it's like if your gut integrity isn't as great, then it is easier to get those things and they kind of wreak havoc. Another area where I like definitely require a GI map is like autoimmune conditions. Like it's huge. It's like I get so many women with Hashimoto's and they see very little success with medication, or it's like they have a really hard time. Like they find a dose, it works for a little bit and then it doesn't. And it's because they have so much stress, and usually that's where we see like the most gut dysfunction, you know, like where it's like, you know, there's parasites. I almost always see H. pylori with autoimmune, and there's a lot of work they can do, but they didn't even have digestive symptoms. So it's like, they didn't realize. So I agree with you. Like pretty much anyone is definitely a candidate for a GI map, and you do truly need it to heal your hormones and just your overall health. Like if you are someone with like really bad fatigue and like really low energy, and you can't, maybe like you've tested your cortisol and you can't figure out what's wrong, looking at your gut health can be really big. So since we've been talking about like stool tests and stuff, and like I know we both like the GI map, like so it's what it sounds like, right? You poop in a little thing and then you put it in this little container. It's got like a spork on the end. It's wonderful. And then you can scoop it in there. Some stool tests are like over a period of days. The GI map, you don't necessarily need to do that. But it is DNA testing. So can you talk about that a little bit so that people can understand? Because can I go to my doctor and get a stool test? You know, like that's a pretty common question.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the thing is, again, you want to make sure that if you're doing things, you're trying to invest in the right things, the things that are going to give you the best information. Because yeah, I did three stool tests before I even did the GI map. And the GI map was the only test out of all of them that actually detected three parasites and a worm that I had. And yeah, so that's why I'm like, it's my favorite thing. But so most traditional stool tests, I mean, first you have to know what are they looking for. Because if you go to your regular doctor, they may be looking for a couple of parasites, maybe H. pylori, depending on what symptoms, you know, you're working on. But that's probably about it. And we have to remember there's like over 500 different types of bacteria and things that could live in the gut. I mean, we don't have a test, any test that's going to check for that many things. And if we did, it would probably be like thousands of dollars, right, to do it. But a lot of other, you know, there's other labs out there who may do, like you said, like a 3-day collection or 1-day collection, but they're not DNA based. And basically somebody's in a lab looking at your sample under a microscope, hoping to find something. But we have what, 20 feet worth of intestines, and you're giving them a 1-inch sample, and you're not going to pass the same things every time you go to the bathroom. And sometimes too, bugs can have a life cycle, you know, where it's like an egg and then it, you know, grows into the full thing. Or they'll swab your sample into a little petri dish and then try to grow, you know, your grow stuff and see what bacteria comes. But most of the bacteria that lives in your gut doesn't like oxygen. You know, it's not exposed to oxygen there. So then when you poop, you're exposing it to oxygen, and a lot of that bacteria dies off. So you may not even be able to grow it in a petri dish because it's dead. You can only grow something that's alive. But with DNA-based testing, you're looking for the DNA in your stool sample. So it's much more sensitive at picking things up. But I also tend to find that the GI map's more comprehensive. It checks for kind of more things than a lot of other tests do. And I've just found it to be more helpful. I've had people who've done other stool tests and they're like, oh, my doctor said I only had dysbiosis or balance of bacteria. And they're like, meh, I still require a GI map if you haven't had a GI map. And we do a GI map and there's more things on there, you know, so then we're able to address those. But the other caveat I find is, because the more I talk about, you know, stool testing, the more I think a lot of us discuss GI maps, the more people are trying to seek it out. The other thing is to make sure you have someone that knows how to interpret them properly, because that's another thing I see a lot. Or sometimes people try to find a way to get them on their own and then they have no idea how to read them. I've seen it where someone has gotten it and some practitioners maybe are, again, kind of jumping on the bandwagon and like, oh, people want GI maps, so I'm going to offer them. But then they have no really clue how to interpret them properly. And then they don't address everything that they should be addressing.
I just had that happen with someone. Yeah. She like went through part of our balanced babe program. And she had like her Dutch and everything, but she was like, oh, we offer a GI map as well. And she was like, oh, I'm going to wait. Like, I'm going to try to see if I can get covered by insurance. It took her a really long time. She eventually found someone that was like within her network. So it was like significantly cheaper. So I get it. But I was also like, you know, one, we don't care about making money off these tests because like we don't charge extra for them. Like a lot of people do. It's just not, I'm not interested in that. Cause like you said, like it just gives you so much information, like you need it. And then she's like, yeah. So she gets the test done and her doctor didn't change anything. Like, because technically there was some stuff that was low. So he's like, take a probiotic. But she had some parasites that were present. They just weren't high, you know, but I'm like, they still shouldn't be there. And then she's been struggling with infertility and like not ovulating. So it's like, well, your body is stressed out, you know, and her cortisol was high. And I was like, this is why, because you have stress in your gut. So it is like, I would say like the GI map is amazing. The Dutch test is also great. And you can actually go online and order a Dutch, but you will not know what any of it means. Trust us.
I've done almost 200 of them.
I know.
And I still learn.
And I still do a medical director call every single time I do one, because like there is always something that you can learn and there's always new stuff like with like research, you know, and like sometimes they change up the labs and what they're testing for. So it's like, you really need to find someone that's on top of it and that cares. And then isn't just, you know, like looking to say if like, okay, this is like when you go to the doctor and you get blood work done, they're like, it's all normal, you know, it's like, but you feel awful. So, okay. The last thing I want to talk about, and this is honestly mostly selfish because I want to geek out about it, is the hair mineral stuff. Mm-hmm. So you've been talking a lot about this. I love your posts. Everyone follow her at The Organic Dietitian if you're not. So how do heavy metals impact gut health?
Yeah. So this is something I've seen more lately, which is why I was like digging into it a little bit more. But your body, so we all pretty much have heavy metals. You know, I have never seen anyone necessarily come back clean. And if you are, it's because your body's sequestering them, right? you know, we come into, we a lot of us have had metal fillings, or we've used aluminum-based deodorants at some point in life, or drank out of aluminum cans, we use aluminum foil. I mean, there's aluminum in baking soda, the vaccines and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we all pretty much have exposure to metals. But metals are very damaging to the body, especially when they get into the bloodstream. And they can affect things like your liver, your brain. You know, so your body goes into full-on protection mode, and it's like, okay, what's going to be the least of two evils here? And so it can actually have things like parasites and candida help protect you from heavy metals. So sometimes your body kind of uses those things on purpose. Parasites actually can store metals in their cell wall and protect you from getting them into your bloodstream. So sometimes your body keeps them around as a protection mechanism. And same thing with candida. Candida can kind of surround heavy metals and prevent them from getting into your bloodstream. So if you do testing and you find that you have those things, I mean, I kind of let, you know, it's like, okay, we could work on a million things, but, and we try not to do too many things at once, but sometimes doing hair mineral in conjunction with healing the gut can help, because you're trying to eliminate some of these metals, which can help make sure that you're eliminating some of the pathogens. But the other caveat is if you're doing a lot of work on healing the gut and your parasites and candida and all those things are just having a heck of a time going away, no matter what you do, then definitely looking at metals, because your body could be keeping them around on purpose. And so if you can kind of work on eliminating some of the metals, then eventually the bacteria will follow. And I've had this happen again to me recently too, where we did an HTMA and her mercury was really high, and she had a bunch of fillings in her mouth, you know, and stuff like that. So it was not surprising, but she had parasites and candida. And after the first round, things went down, but not as significantly as I probably would have liked to have seen them. And it's, you know, because those metals, her body was trying to protect her. It's kind of fascinating how the body works in that kind of fashion, but it can definitely make things harder. And again, working with someone that knows this and realizes this, so that you can kind of get the best results for what you're doing.
Yeah, that's super important. And it is interesting how the body, it sequesters them, or like your certain bacteria or parasites, like they can thrive off of them. So it's like, it does play a role. I see this a lot with the birth control, hormonal birth control too, is the whole copper. A lot of, like, if you have estrogen excess, like if you have a lot of estrogen, which is, you know, pretty common when coming off the pill or any hormonal birth control, because your body like isn't making it, then you get this rebound of androgens, and then usually you have high estrogen. And estrogen and copper have an affinity for each other. I get a lot of questions because I had a copper IUD for like a million years and I'm still healing from it. And it did that. I had no idea. I was like, wow, I can't believe my hormones are so messed up. I haven't been on hormonal birth control for 8 years at the time. And I was in shock, but then I started researching about the copper IUD, and then I learned about the heavy metal thing. And it's very, very interesting. So what about like how copper and estrogen work together? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So when one goes up, they both go up typically, and it could be copper going up first. So if you're exposing yourself to high amounts of copper, like with the IUD, or if you've got copper pipes in your house, even stress. If you have adrenal issues, you're at risk for copper toxicity, because your adrenals actually help make a protein that help kind of eliminate copper from your system. And so when your adrenals are under more stress, you don't make that protein as well. And so then it has a hard time, you know, getting out. And if your mother had copper toxicity, she can pass that along in utero. They're actually showing that kind of as generations go on, if we don't address the copper, copper keeps going higher and higher and higher in, you know, the next generation, because we keep passing that along. But also estrogen, having high estrogen can then cause copper to go up. So if, you know, you don't even need to be on a copper IUD, any sort of form of hormonal birth control typically will increase your estrogen. And, you know, because you're giving yourself a steady stream of estrogen via a pill, via patch, via ring, whatever you've got, IUD even, and estrogen is high now, and then copper goes up too. So pretty much anyone that's probably been on
any sort of hormonal birth control or copper IUD for any length of time has likely developed some sort of copper toxicity. And that's kind of the thing of looking at the test, because it can be hidden too. You know, you don't necessarily see high copper on a first hair mineral test. And, you know, oftentimes I actually see it on the lower side. And that just usually means that it's hidden, that your body just isn't strong enough to kind of push it out of the system. And so that's something that you work with and you work on over time. But I've seen it before where I do a hair mineral or a Dutch test and someone's estrogen's actually a little low, but yet they have every PMS, every, you know, estrogen dominant symptom in the book. And it's like, where is this coming from? And then we check hair mineral and they have copper toxicity. So sometimes the copper could be the issue, not necessarily just the estrogen, if you're having a lot of those symptoms and, you know, your testing just doesn't seem to correlate.
That's really interesting. And just so everyone knows, so we talked about the Dutch test in the beginning. That's like your dried urine hormone test. We talked about the GI map. That is the stool test, looking at like your gut health and everything. And then the hair mineral test, that's the HTMA test. And it's literally, you cut off a little like piece of your hair, somewhat near your scalp, and then you send it in, and that's what they're using to do the analysis. So it's pretty cool. All these tests can be done at home. They're all functional lab tests. So these are things that, you know, there are a lot of research behind them. They're definitely like not mainstream. Typically your insurance isn't going to cover it. Some will, you know, kind of depending on what your insurance is like and who you have in your network. But, they're effective. And while it can seem like, oh, that's kind of a lot of testing, like it's really not. Cause you know, I can't even tell you how many clients I've had, especially like recently, where they have like, sometimes they have a really, really heavy period. Sometimes they have a missing period. And it's like really hard to even just get a diagnosis for anything, you know, even though like maybe we've done a Dutch test and their androgens are high and we're like, can you go get your, you know, ovaries looked at? Like, can we see if there's anything there? And it's like, there's always going to be a lot of testing. I like these tests, and I'm sure you'll agree, because they're comprehensive and they work with each other. So you can learn things, you know, by getting one test, you can compare the results to the other one. You can learn a lot. So that's just so everyone knows, like, I feel like bad. I'm like, all right, this is what these terms mean. This is what these tests are. So anything else that you want to say about just like gut health, healing your gut in general, or like women's health that you want to leave people with?
Well, one thing too I want to mention is that if you have a health savings account, oftentimes you can get them to use that to pay for tests. So sometimes that's a good thing to have and use. And hopefully, you know, maybe one day, probably not in our lifetimes, but insurance will be better at covering some of this stuff. But hey, if it gets results, it gets results. But I mean, I think for women, I think starting out with basic stuff, working on your stress, trying to get more sleep, you know, trying not to eat a bunch of processed foods. But don't be afraid to get help, right? Don't be afraid to reach out to someone who can walk you through this process, because it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody. I know, you know, oftentimes even us as practitioners kind of get help from other people because we want to be able to kind of step outside of ourselves and with all the information we know and say, here, I want to see it from a different perspective. And, you know, I know you have your group, my clients get a group too, so that they can, you know, help each other out to have a community. You know, when we try to do this stuff alone, it makes it a lot more challenging. But making sure you're having the information, don't go to if you go to a doctor and they don't believe you, or they just send you home with a medication, or, you know, say nothing is wrong, then be your best advocate. And, you know, don't take that as an answer, because if you're dealing, you know your body best, and if you're dealing with a symptom or you know something isn't right, then, you know, you deserve to get the help that you need so that you can feel great. Because I mean, so many of us are still super young and feel 10, 15 years older because of all the things that we're going, you know, that we're dealing with. And sometimes people are just like, oh, well, you're just getting older. You know, that's normal. Everybody has that, but know that that's not true. And you don't have to feel that way.
Oh, I can't remember the statistic, but it's like, especially with women and the doctor, there's a statistic about how women are, I forget how many times more likely to be misdiagnosed with a heart attack. Like they just don't get the diagnosis, and then they'll die, like literally die, because we are viewed as like, you know, being more emotional, making a bigger deal out of things, that kind of stuff. Or we downplay it because we're like, we have way too much going on. I cannot afford to take any time off from my work or anything that I'm doing around the house or kids and stuff like that, that we will like put it off. And then we finally go to the doctor, they're like, you're fine. So just something to keep in mind, because I think it is really powerful. And like, I love to be your best advocate. That's like, and you deserve it, honestly. At the end of the day, I know it can feel hard, especially if you have kids and a family and other people that, you know, you have to like have, you have expenses for and need to take care of, but you have to take care of it and prioritize yourself. So even if you can't do it financially now, I say do it with your time, do it with your energy, and like, you know, get enough sleep, all those things you mentioned, feed yourself. People don't eat enough. So eating the food is like so basic, but so important. I like with all my clients right now, I feel like we're just like working on eating enough food. Cause I'm like, you already have enough stress. Like we do not need to add to this. Yeah. But thank you so much for being on, Sarah. I really appreciate it. So everyone, you can find Sarah at theorganicdietitian.com and at theorganicdietitian on Instagram and Facebook. And she has awesome recipes. She's got really informative Instagram posts, and she's fun. So you should go follow.
Thanks.